I thank the Lord for Brother Nash. Brother Nash is a sincere man, and I thank God for that sincerity. And let's see. When I counted the candy that was left in our room, there were three pieces missing. Any of you know anything about the three pieces of candy that were missing in our room? Well, I don't know who you ladies are that took of the candy, but I counted, and it's missing. And so, and I'm not mad about it. I just want you to know I know it's missing. And so, there were four missing. Well, I'm not a priest, and you don't have to confess to me, but I do expect you to hit the altar tonight. Okay. Well, I want you to get your Bible out and turn to Isaiah chapter number 42. Isaiah chapter 42. If you have a cell phone on, do me a favor, turn it off. That way it doesn't interrupt our preaching tonight and interrupt the service. Cell phones have become interrupters today. Boy, they go off during funerals. They go off during weddings, which those two things are kind of alike. But they go off and disrupt, and so try to keep that cell phone from doing that to you. Isaiah chapter number 42, find verse number 1. And then just for my sake, would you stand with me? I'm going to read these four verses. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. Isaiah 42, starting with verse 1, it says, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." Now, verse number 4 is where we get our text for tonight. "He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." That's the scripture. While you're standing, let me tell you this. What I'll say to you tonight, I guess we could call it a sermon. Think a little more to me. It's a testimony. I want to say something to you tonight. And I've been a preacher now for going on almost 39 years. I got called to preach when I was a 16-year-old boy, and it's just what I've done all these years. I'm 55, and this year, probably just in a couple, before the end of this year, I will have preached my 37,000th sermon since I was a 16-year-old boy. I'd like to give you just kind of a bit of a testimony tonight. Probably not the same kind of testimony you would expect, but if you came to be helped tonight, I promise you, if you'll get the truth of what I'm saying, it's going to help you to survive in the Christian life till we get transferred up to heaven. I just promise you that. Let me pray for us. Dear Jesus, help us tonight. You know the subject of the sermon. I certainly want you to be exalted. I want you to be glorified. I want you to be lifted up. Help my feeble and weak mind and my way not to slow down what you want to see happen here tonight. I pray, God, that you'll reach deep into our hearts and into our minds. Give us a truth tonight that will sustain us and strengthen us and help us. God, you know there is a practicality in the sermon, but yet it is more a statement than it is a practical series of principles. So take this one thought, use it to help us tonight, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat if you will. There in Isaiah chapter 42, verse number 5, it says, "He shall not fail nor be discouraged." I want you to know that passage of scripture there from Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, it is in reference to Jesus, the Son of God. It's in reference to our God, God come in the flesh, Jesus Christ. And it said this about him. It said, "He shall not fail." Boy, am I glad. I'm glad that he shall not fail. I am so glad that Jesus never fails. I'm so glad that God is never a loser. God's always a winner. Jesus, when we say we're on the winning side, that's because we're on his side. Now, folks, this life is full of disappointments. This life is full of insecurities. And we're all sinners. And sinners disappoint one another. Matter of fact, sinners disappoint themselves. You know, I could look at you and say, well, that behavior right there in you, it disappoints me. But I have to tell you, I spend a whole lot of time looking at me saying to myself, I disappointed myself again. I disappointed God again. Sinners disappoint themselves. Sinners disappoint each other. Sinners disappoint God. But Isaiah chapter 42, verse number 4 says, Jesus never fails. And I have to tell you tonight, by way of testimony, Jesus has never disappointed me. Never disappointed me. I was saved when I was a 16-year-old boy, and from that day to this, Jesus has never let me down, and He's never disappointed me. Now, I've disappointed Him. He's never disappointed me. I've let Jesus down. Jesus has never let me down. I've forgotten Him from time to time. Jesus has never forgotten me. I've forsaken Him at times. Jesus has never forsaken me. I've turned away from Him at times. He has never turned away from me. I've hurt Him. He's never hurt me. I've come up short often. He's never come up short. He always comes in full force and gets the job done. I have failed to meet the needs of Jesus from time to time. But I have to tell you, He has never failed to meet my needs. I've cheated Jesus out of some things. He's never cheated me out of anything. I've quit on Him some. He's never quit on me. I have unjustly judged Him from time to time. You ever look up to God and say, what are you doing? But you know what? He has never unjustly judged me one time. I think this. I think we ought to try our best to never disappoint Jesus. Hey, and I tell you this also. I think we ought to try our best to never disappoint each other. But the fact is, I'll disappoint you, and you'll disappoint me. But I've decided I'm not going to give up on mankind. I heard somebody say one day, they said, I'll never trust another human being again. Well, that's a pretty weak and empty and hopeless decision to make. I don't think we ought to give up. And I'll tell you this, I would rather trust and be disappointed than to have never trusted. You ever heard someone say, better to have loved and lost than to have never loved? I agree with that. I would rather experience the benefits of love and get hurt some than to have never experienced the benefits of love. Hey, and I would rather trust and get hurt some than to have never experienced the benefits of trust. But I have to tell you tonight, He has never disappointed me. And that's the title of my sermon. I've never been disappointed in Him. And folks, I hate to tell you this, but in life, we are going to disappoint each other. And life, we're surrounded by disappointments. I don't spend all my time looking at those disappointments. I mean, I got to face them sometimes, and I've got to feel them sometimes, and I've got to experience them sometimes. But I'll tell you this, He has never disappointed me. And I want to point something out to you tonight, and I want to remind you about something. This whole thing, you and I and Christianity and this whole shooting match, it's really not all about me. And it's really not all about you. It's really all about Him. It's really all about Him. We sometimes lose track. I pastor the Twin Rivers Baptist Church of New Bern, North Carolina. I'm the pastor there. But you know what? That's His church. I run a bus there. That's His bus. We have some Sunday school classes there. Those are His classes. Hey, there are some pews in that church. Those are His pews. There are some people that come to that church. Those are His people. And I have to tell you something. It's not all about me, and it's not all about you. It's all about Him. And there's a good reason why. Hey, I may disappoint you, and you may disappoint me, and we all may disappoint each other, but I've got good news for you tonight. Jesus never fails. And He won't let you down. And again, I just want to testify. For instance, I got to thinking, we may be disappointed in man, but we don't have to be disappointed in God. It's said there in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, it says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. You know what that says? It doesn't say our bad is as a filthy rag. It says our good is as a filthy rag. And you say, well, I do some good. Oh, I'm not doubting that. You say, well, who are we comparing me to? I'm as good as anybody else in this church. Well, you might be. But we're not comparing ourselves among ourselves. If you want to compare yourself to somebody to figure out where you really stand, I'd compare yourself to Jesus. And He'll never let you down. Man will let you down. Mankind can disappoint us. Why? Well, they can be evil. Mankind can disappoint us by being heartless. Boy, how heartless sometimes people can be. Man can disappoint us by being hateful. But Jesus isn't going to disappoint us. Man can disappoint us by being ruthless. Man can disappoint us by being hurtful. Man can disappoint us by being merciless. Man can disappoint us by being stingy or self-centered or unforgiving. Man can disappoint us by being spiteful. And man can disappoint us by being unpredictable and vengeful and greedy and self-serving and wicked and lustful and disobedient and undependable. But thank God. Thank God. Mankind may disappoint you and may disappoint me, but I have never been disappointed in Jesus. Never. You know, if my service to God, you know, Brother Campbell, if my service to God was dependent on people, I would have quit a long time ago. Why? They'll lay you down. They'll break your heart. They'll surprise you. You say, what do? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Keep your eyes on the prize. Never take your eyes off the ultimate role model. People will let you down, but Jesus will never let you down. He's never disappointed me. Hey, Jesus has never been evil toward me. Man has. Jesus has never been heartless. He's never been hateful. He's never been ruthless toward me. He's never been hurtful or merciless or stingy or self-centered. I've experienced all that with man. All of that. Hey, Jesus has never been unforgiving or spiteful or unpredictable or vengeful or greedy or self-serving. Never. He's always done things right. Jesus has never been wicked or lustful or disobedient or undependable for me. I'm just here to tell you tonight, I've never been disappointed in Him. Oh man, you know, sometimes we're shocked. Somebody we know does something dumb that hurts us and we go, I can't believe it. You know, we go around all the time quoting Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's none righteous, no, not one. And then we're shocked that a human being would dare sin against us or hurt us. Well, wake up! I thought you already knew. We're a bunch of low-down, good-for-nothing sinners. And sinners sin, and I wish we'd stop it. But we haven't been able to get that done. And I want to tell you something. You'll quit church. You'll quit on God. You'll quit your ministry. You'll quit. If you look at people, get your eyes on Jesus Christ. Why are all your judgments and decisions based on people? What about Jesus? He's never disappointed me. Never. I'll tell you this. We may be disappointed in the government, but we don't have to be disappointed in Him. Listen to this verse. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You know what? That probably describes some of the governments of our world. You say, Brother Owens, are you for a democracy? Sure, I'm for a democracy, but I need you to understand something. When we get to heaven, there won't be a democracy. There will be a kingdom. And everything will be done exactly right because our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, He'll rule and He'll reign. But until then, get ready. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to get disappointed. Do you know that it was the government of its day that decided all boy children should be put to death, that forced Moses' mother to take her newborn baby, put him in a basket, and send him up the river? How disappointing. But it's our day that they're aborting babies. How disappointing. Folks, I want to tell you something. If you think you're going to get your encouragement from the government, you're sadly mistaken. You're not. You say, I can't wait until we get a new president. Well, we will get a new president because the term limit is here. But if you think that a new president is going to give you all the joy and happiness you need, you're sadly mistaken. There's only one way to get the joy and happiness you need for your journey on this earth, and it's not looking to the United States government or the government of Canada or the government of Mexico. It is looking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because your government's going to let you down. But I've never been disappointed in Him. You know, it was the government of its day that said to Daniel, you can't pray three times a day. How disappointing. They said, Daniel, we're not going to let you pray three times a day. And when he did, they put him in the lion's den. That's pretty disappointing. But I'll tell you what, Daniel didn't let that stop him, and I'll tell you why. Daniel wasn't dependent on the government for his security. Daniel was dependent on the God of gods. And Daniel said, hey, the government let me down, but Jesus has never let me down. Do you know it was the government of its day that beat the apostles in the New Testament and demanded that they preach no more in Jesus' name? How disappointing. But you know what? They beat them, and the apostles got out, and they said, we cannot but speak what we have seen and what we have heard. And they went right back out telling people about Jesus Christ. I'm just going to tell you, folks, hey, in the day and age in which we live, being a Christian, especially being a soul-winning, old-fashioned Baptist Christian, it's becoming less and less popular. And the government... Now, I love America. You cut me. I bleed red, white, and blue. And I'm not giving up on America, but I got to tell you the truth about it. The government will let you down. But He has never disappointed me. Our government kicked the Bible out of the public school. How disappointing. Our government legalized abortion. How disappointing. Our government now virtually is practicing socialism and put in place socialism for the next generation. How disappointing. Our government allows the liquor and the pornography to exist in abundance. How disappointing. But I'll tell you this. When all that disappoints me, I've got to remember something. I'm not here, and I'm not here to get my security from the government. My security comes from above. And He's never disappointed me. I know all sorts of people that have disappointed me, but Jesus never disappointed me. Then I got to thinking, hey, our closest of friends sometimes can disappoint us. But I have to tell you, I've never been disappointed in my friend Jesus. A friend we have called Jesus. His love is kind and true. What a friend we have in Jesus. You know, folks, and when mankind in general, acquaintances and things, when they hurt us, that's one thing. But I'll tell you what, when it's a friend that hurts you, lets you down, or disappoints you, it cuts a little deeper. It hurts a little worse. It bruises a little more thoroughly. The Bible says in Psalm 41:9, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Hey, folks, I got to tell you, friends will let you down. No, I'm not promoting that, and I'm not for that, but they will let you down. Our friends can break our hearts. How? Well, maybe they'll lie to us. How disappointing. Our friends can shock us by maybe being two-faced or what we would call a backstabber. But let me tell you something. That's disappointing. But Jesus will never do that to you. He's never going to do that to you. Our friends disappoint us by forsaking us sometimes. How disappointing. Our friends can disappoint us by lying to us. How disappointing. Our friends can disappoint us by cheating us. Or can I remind you? It was Judas that turned on Jesus. He was masquerading as a friend to Jesus Christ and turned on Him and sold Him out for 30 pieces of silver. How disappointing. But folks, look, if you're a friend, I think you ought to be the right kind of friend, and I think you ought to uphold friendship as it is taught scripturally in the Bible. But I just want to warn every last one of you, if you're in this church because of a human friend, and that's the only reason you're here, you're going to get disappointed. You ought to be here because your best friend is Jesus Christ. That's why you make your commitment. Hey, listen, I've been disappointed by many a friend. I've been deeply hurt. I've been cheated. I've been wounded. And it hurts. But my best friend, he never let me down. Not one time. I've been hurt by the human race, but never by Jesus. I've been hurt by the government, disappointed, but not by Jesus. Best of friends have forsaken, but not Jesus. Listen, we may be disappointed even by family members. Let's face it, folks. Sometimes our family, they don't understand. You get saved and you have a bunch of family members that maybe they're religious but not saved. Or maybe they're not even religious and they think you're a wacko. You got saved. You're going out there to that, that Gospel Light Baptist Church where them people, they live different. Hey, I'll tell you what. You'll have family that'll disappoint you. They'll let you down. I think of the verse and the story of Job. In Job 2:9 it says, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." Now I think most of you know the story. Job was going through a very difficult time. Satan was working Job over and working him over and putting some overtime in. And Job was suffering terribly. And Job's wife turned to him and said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" Now some say that that was a statement of mercy. She said, "Why, you know, I love you and I don't want you to go through this." Now, to be quite honest with you, if Mrs. Owen said to me, "Go ahead and die, sucker," I would not consider that a merciful statement. Honey, if I'm going through it, don't bring me a gun and say, "Won't you just get this over with because I really love you." No, I kind of get the idea. She might be wanting to cash in on that insurance policy. But think of that. There Job was, the lowest, and I believe probably other than Jesus Christ, Job was lower than any man could have ever been in regard to the torment and the weight that he was carrying. And the one that he needed the most at that moment was his wife. And buddy, she was ready for him to cash out. You say, what kept him going? I think he knew that he wasn't to keep on going because of his wife, and he wasn't supposed to keep on going because of her husband, if you will, or because of kids, or because of grandma, or grandpa, or mom, or dad. Let me say to everybody in here, your family may let you down. You better keep your eyes on the eastern skies. You better keep your eyes heading north up to where Jesus Christ is. What's wrong with us? Why do we look around and look at people and make our spiritual decisions based on people? You are to make your decision based on Jesus Christ. And He won't let you down. He will not disappoint you. Your husband may have disappointed you at some time. He may have let you down. But I'll tell you, Jesus won't let you down. Your wife may have disappointed you sometime in life. May have broken your heart. And she may have let you down. But I've never been disappointed in Jesus. Your mother may have disappointed you. Maybe you feel betrayed somehow by mama from years gone by. And that may have happened. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus won't disappoint you. Your father may have hurt you. Maybe abused you. I don't know what happened. But there are people that sat under the sound of my voice this evening. And your father hurt you. And you've been disappointed in that ever since. Well, let me tell you something. Your heavenly father will never let you down. Your heavenly father will never leave you. Your heavenly father will never forsake you. Your heavenly father will always love you. Hey, you better just make sure you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Christianity today is so dependent on one another, it is pathetic. People want to walk with each other instead of walk with God. And I'm just here to tell you tonight, I've preached almost 37,000 sermons. I've been preaching since I was a 16-year-old boy. And had I been depending on you, I would have quit a long time ago. Had I been depending on my friends, I would have quit a long time ago. Had I been depending on my family, I would have quit a long time ago. Had I been depending on my government, I would have quit a long time ago. But you know what? I've been trying to depend on Him. I knew that I would be forsaken by mankind and everything else, but Jesus said, "I'll never leave you, Jeff. I'll never forsake you." He's helped me to stay on track. And you serve the same Jesus that I do. Isn't it amazing how we can get off track? Isn't it amazing how we can get to looking at everybody and everything, and then we're shocked that they said that, or we're shocked that they did that, that we go around telling everybody we're a bunch of sinners, we're shocked that that's true. And guess what? Somebody's been looking at you, and they're shocked at your stupid behavior too. Say, how do you survive it all? Get your eyes off of man. Get your eyes back on Jesus Christ. You see, I've never been disappointed in Him. Your son may have disappointed you and broken your heart, but I've never been disappointed in Jesus. Your daughter may have disappointed you. Maybe she turned on you. But I'll tell you something. I've never been disappointed on Jesus. Your family may have stolen from you or deeply hurt you. But I've never been disappointed in Jesus. I had a grandfather. And he wasn't a godly man. He'd been married 5 times. He owned a bar and a dance hall and a whorehouse. When it was time for him to give up all the businesses at near his death, the whole plan was that, now I was a Baptist preacher, but he called me Jeffy. Now you call me Dr. Jeffy, but he called me Jeffy. That's what my grandpa called me. He called me Jeffy. I was there right before he was going to die, and he told me, he said, Jeffy, you're the most business-minded person in the whole family. I would trust you more to take over the businesses than anybody else. It's my intent to leave all the businesses to you. It's worth a lot of money. He said, well, what are you going to do with them? Well, I was going to take the bar, shut it down, turn it into a rescue mission. I was going to take all the businesses and just flip-flop them on what they at one time were and try to do some good and get people saved that had been destroyed by all of it. But I had a family member that found out that everything was going to be willed to me. And he went to work on my grandpa. And he told my grandpa my plan. He said, Dad, you give that to Jeff, he'll shut it all down. He'll shut it all down. My grandpa died. The entire inheritance, 5 businesses, lots of money, the day the will was read, I watched it go to somebody else. That's family. That's what family did. I could have quit the ministry if I would have wanted to. I could have got discouraged. I could have said, look, if you can't depend on family, who can you depend on? But you know what? I already knew who I could depend on.
Yes.
There's some of you, you're so disappointed in some family member. Matter of fact, it's just squelched your life. Almost controlled you. I tell you something? I think family's important, and I think family's thick, and I think family ought to love each other, but I am going to tell you something. You better stick with Jesus. You had better just make sure. And folks, we all know it. You know, I do this, and Brother Campbell, I'm sure you have in your experience. Yeah, you ought to go through the death of a family member and be involved in being the executor or being involved when, you know, the inheritance is being given out. I could turn into an all-out bloody war over things? Money? What's wrong with us? Well, the human race is tainted. We're a mess. But I might say this to you folks, if you've been hurt by family, I'm sorry. I don't want you to be hurt by family. But you do have a family member that will never let you down. And that is your Heavenly Father. See, all those years ago, somebody told me when I started preaching, they said, Jeff, the biggest deal in the ministry is you got to walk with God. You know what's happened to me? I get to walking with anybody but God, and I get to walking any closer to any human being than I do walk with God. I end up getting hurt, disappointed. I get disenchanted. I get confused, and I get off track. Folks, you need to stay close to God. You say, why? I'm telling you that for your own good. He'll never let you down. He won't disappoint you. Man may disappoint you. Jesus won't. The government may disappoint you. Jesus won't. Hey, your friends may disappoint you. I mean, talk about some of your very best friends. There are people in here, you were betrayed or forsaken by one of your very best friends, and you're still in shock. You're still saying, good gravy, what happened? I'm sorry. But friends will betray you. Family sometimes will let you down. Hey, did you know this? Churches may disappoint you. But I've never been disappointed in Jesus. Do you know in Revelation, listen to this verse, Revelation 3:14 and 15 it says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. You know something? A church that was supposed to be a church of Jesus Christ, that was supposed to uplift Jesus Christ, Jesus said, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're lukewarm. And God said, Jesus said, hey, you make me sick at my stomach. Matter of fact, I'm going to puke you up. Now I'm going to guess that, you know, if You're puking something up. There must be some disappointment going on somewhere. I mean, if God said, oh, puke your church up, you'd say, I'm going to guess you're disappointed in us somehow. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure that out. There was disappointment. Well, let me explain something. You know, did you know churches will disappoint you? They'll disappoint you. You know, I used to be associated with a church that believed the old time religion. Man, they had a soul winning program and they used to have standards and all of that. One year I showed up to preach there, and you know what? They had canceled their soul winning program and there were no standards. It was sad. It broke my heart. Now, can I tell you something? I didn't give up on the local New Testament church because of it. Because that church is, that one church right there, it's not setting the standard. It's not the one I'm to keep my eyes on. There are people in here, you say, I am so disappointed in this church, or I'm so disappointed in that church. Let me tell you something. You may get discouraged or disappointed in some church somewhere, but you better keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. That's what you have to do. A church I used to associate with at one time, they were fundamental to the core. They used the King James Bible and stood for it. And that boy, I went there one day, and I wasn't there but just a few minutes, and I went in their Christian bookstore, and I noticed that they had Bibles other than the King James Bible. And the next thing I heard, they had a preacher coming, and I happened to know he didn't believe the King James Bible. And I thought, oh no, it broke my heart. And for a minute I thought, the whole world's falling apart. And then it occurred to me, the world's going to fall apart. And I don't believe what I believe because that church believed it. I believe what I believe because it's in the Bible. I behave the way I behave, not because of you, or not because of you, or not because of you, or not because of you. I believe and behave the way I behave because of the Bible. And there's way too many times we look at somebody else, and you know, when our children are growing up, one of them hits the other one. And you say, what were you doing? Well, he hit me first. And we say to them, you're not supposed to act that way. And then we become adults. Well, they're mean to me. I'll be mean to them. Won't you grow up? But I'm going to tell you all something. I've just got to tell you something. You better... Even when it comes to churches, you know, Brother Nash, you know, you've traveled a little, Brother Campbell. I've been all over the country. I am so disappointed in some churches. Churches that used to be straight down the line. I'll go there and I can see the changes. And I'm watching them. And I'm not talking about a change like they painted, you know, the auditorium a different color. I'm talking about doctrinal changes. I'm talking about changes in methodology to the point where they're not soul winning anymore. And it breaks my heart. But you know something? I've got to keep my eyes on the old black book. And I've got to keep my eyes on Jesus. Because things change. And the world's supposed to be getting worse. You know, it's predicted in the Bible. And that we're going to wax worse and worse. What are you and I supposed to do? Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Your friends will disappoint you. The government will disappoint you. Some churches will disappoint you. Family members will disappoint you. Hey, you're going to find mankind and people will disappoint you. But Jesus won't. Hey, preachers are going to disappoint you. And I'm so sorry. I'm excited, I'm pleased, I'm thrilled that I get to be a Baptist preacher. But they'll disappoint you. I got to tell you this. Listen to this. A visiting preacher was very long-winded. Even worse, every time he would make a good point during the sermon, a member of the congregation responded with amen. Or that's right. Well, he would get wound up even more and more and launch into another lengthy discourse. And he had already preached long. Finally, the host pastor started responding to every few sentences the guest preacher made by saying, amen, Pharaoh. Amen, Pharaoh. Now, the guest preacher wasn't real sure what he meant by amen, Pharaoh. But the longer this guy preached, the more the home pastor said, amen, Pharaoh. Amen, Pharaoh. After the service was over with and they sent everybody home, the guest preacher said, Pastor, what did you mean when you kept shouting, amen, Pharaoh? He said, I was trying to say, let my people go. It's time to dismiss. I hope you're not feeling that way. We're getting close to the end of the sermon. But we've all been through a couple of those where we're thinking, you know, I brought a little bottle of water and I should have brought a gallon jug because this guy's going to take forever. I hope he can find a landing strip and land that thing because I want to go home and have some popcorn, you know?
Amen.
Brother. Listen. And listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "For Demas has forsaken me." Demas traveled with the preacher named Paul. You know what happened? Demas forsook Paul. It's in the Bible. And the Bible says he had forsaken Paul because of his love of this present world. I don't know what happened, but I can guarantee you, Demas forsook Paul, and that disappointed some people. And I got to tell you something, folks. The preachers that are in this room, we're to be examples. And we're supposed to live right, and we're supposed to do right. But I need to make sure you understand something. We're not the ultimate role model. We're not perfect. We're human beings. We're tainted. We're sinners, saved by the same grace, living in the same world. Hey, with the same limitations, that's what we are. And if you're not careful, some preacher will disappoint you or let you down. And you'll say, "That's it. I've had it. I've had it with Christianity. That's it. I've had it with the Baptist. That's it. I've had it." Let me tell you something. If you would have kept your eyes on Jesus in the first place, you wouldn't have that attitude right now. You keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Boy, I'll tell you, I have watched preachers, and I've watched them make a great preacher, and I will not mention his name. Great preacher in the state of Georgia, built one of the biggest churches in the state of Georgia. When I was a very young preacher, I used to love to hear him preaching. He was a powerhouse. Boy, when that guy preached, you set up to listen. And I mean, his boring sermons would keep you awake. I mean, this guy, it was great. And I was preaching down south, and somebody had said to me, "Did you hear he wasn't preaching anymore?" I was sitting in my hotel room getting ready to preach at a church in Atlanta, Georgia. I was watching a public television station. You know, the ones that just are local. I was watching it, and all of a sudden, a commercial came on. And there was a man selling ostrich meat from an ostrich farm. I looked at him, and I thought, "I know that man." You know who it was? It was a man that had built a church of almost 2,000 people who had given up on the ministry to go into business to sell ostrich meat. Now, I hate to tell you, I was a little bit set back and a little bit disappointed. What does ostrich meat have over preaching the gospel? The devil's slick. The devil is powerful. He can trip up the best. But let me tell you something, and let me remind you of something. We are to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. If you want to survive long term in Christianity and the right kind of Christianity, you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. I've known preachers that were strong fundamentalists and preached right and preached what they were supposed to preach. Then they get to running with the wishy-washy crowd. They go to conferences, they're all wishy-washy. And before long, they're wishy-washy with everybody else. You say, "I knew this one preacher, he used to do right, now he's not, and I'm just disappointed, and I'll never trust a preacher again." Hey, look, preachers are going to let you down, but Jesus will never let you down. He'll never let you down. Hey, I probably don't have to say this to you, but did you know investments will let you down? Now, some of you aren't old enough to understand it, but in the last 15 years in the United States of America, there are a lot of people to this very day that are still suffering because of losses that we took because of investments. I don't want to scare you, but did you know your faith's not supposed to be in your money? It's in Jesus. He can take care of you with or without money. You say, "Our government keeps on printing it." Yeah, they print it on paper that's made out of God's trees. I'm going to guess God knows how to take care of us. The Bible says in Luke 12:33, "Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not." I'll tell you all something. The only sure investment is in Jesus Christ. The only place where there is no financial corruption is in heaven. There's no thieves there. They can't embezzle or destroy or anything like that. I know a man that invested thousands of dollars with a Christian friend, and that Christian friend lost it all. The buddy was disappointed, devastated, and rightfully so. But let me tell you something, folks. Whether you have it or you don't have it, whether you're making money or losing money, it never changes the economy in heaven. And I'm not trying to get any money out of you. I'll just tell you this. Best thing for you to do with your money is send some of it ahead, because up there, they're not in an economy crunch. The interest rates are high. They're walking on streets of gold. Nobody's ever taken a penny from up there. Anything you've sent ahead up there is drawing the greatest interest you'll ever draw in eternity. I know a man that spent his whole life savings to purchase a company that ended up being stolen away from him by a family member. How devastating. Jesus will never steal anything from you. And I think this, and don't misunderstand me. I think you need to prepare for your future. I think you need to prepare for retirement. God tells us that. It's taught in the Bible. But I will tell you this, you better keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. That is your greatest security. That is your greatest hope for the future. You know, you take investment. I've invested, in people. I've invested time. And I'm not real sure that it brought great dividends in some cases. I've invested love and trust and training and goodness and opportunity and faith and money. And sometimes they disappoint you. But I'll tell you something. If I will invest in you for Him, then I am going to get a good return. But if I invest in you for me, I'll be disappointed.
Yes.
Folks, you don't go out on the bus route for you. Don't do it for Him. Don't do it for Him. Do it for Jesus. Do what you do for the right reason. Make the investment eternal. He won't cheat you. He won't let you down. I'm finished. But let me remind you, I've never been disappointed in Jesus. I've been disappointed in mankind, but not in Jesus. I've been disappointed in the government, but not in Jesus. I've been disappointed by close friends. Never been disappointed in Jesus. I've been disappointed by family members, but never been disappointed by Jesus. I've been disappointed by churches, but not by Jesus. I've been disappointed by preachers, but not by Jesus. I've been disappointed by investments, but not by Jesus. Now, again, let me close by saying this. I'm not giving up on mankind. I believe that you and I should learn to be trustworthy. I think children need to trust parents, and husbands need to trust wives, and wives husbands. But let me tell you, again, your ultimate trust is in Jesus Christ. I believe we're to exercise trust in one another. And I don't want you to give up on me, and I don't plan on giving up on you. And I may disappoint you, and you may disappoint me. You know who we're supposed to behave like? Jesus. And He never gives up on us. But if you're looking for security, I want to recommend you to the one who said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Our ultimate trust is to be in Him. When man lets us down, God won't. God won't. I don't know about you. And if you say to me tonight, you say, "Well, God's let me down," I'm very sorry. You're mistaken. You're mistaken. And I don't want to hurt your feelings. But I have to tell you, if you say to me, "God's let me down and God's not treated me well," there's something wrong in your heart and in your thinking. Because the Bible says, He never fails. Ever. Hey, let me tell you this. Man's way of salvation will disappoint you. Man says, "Join the church and you can be saved because you joined the church." That'll disappoint you. You're going to end up in hell. Man says, "Get baptized. You can go to heaven if you get baptized." That's man's way. That'll disappoint you. So I'll take the Lord's Supper, or they call it communion. It's called the Lord's Supper. I'll take communion. That'll get me to heaven. You're going to be disappointed when you die. It's not going to be good. I'm going to do good deeds to get to heaven. I think you're going to find you're going to be disappointed when you die. So what am I supposed to do? Go to the one that will never disappoint you. That's Jesus. Let Jesus become your Savior. He's never disappointed anyone about heaven. If they accepted Him as Savior, everyone's going to heaven. Everybody that did it any other way were very disappointed. The passage of Scripture that we started with is Isaiah chapter 42, verse number 4, where it said, He shall not fail. I just wanted to give a little testimony tonight. I've been disappointed by a lot of things in life, and so have you. And I know it's simple, and I know it's obvious. But maybe I just wanted to remind all of us, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I almost guarantee you, whatever you're distraught about, whatever's overwhelming you, it's probably because of something other than Jesus. And what you need to do is get connected to the right stability, the power source, so you don't need to freak out, fall apart. Get it together. You say, how? Get to the one who's got it together. It'll help you. I promise. And all the hurts and all the times of being forsaken. Oh, I panic just like you, and I wonder, can I do it? Can I make it? This is terrible. But thank God, to date, Brother Keith, I've landed on my feet by looking to Jesus and saying, whew, I'm sure glad to see you, because I need a rock. And Jesus is the rock of my salvation. Bow your heads and close your eyes. We'll have an altar call. Here's the question to you tonight. Is it possible that somebody in here has been a little overwhelmed by disappointments? Ere it be one that I mentioned, or maybe one that I didn't, can I recommend something to all of us tonight? Get your eyes off the people and the world and all of that. Get your eyes back on Jesus and remember who He is and what He is. And He's the one, He's the reason we got in all of this. He's the one. And some of you just need to reconnect and say, you know what, God, I want You to stabilize me. God, I need to get my eyes back on You. I'm a little frantic, and it has to do with people and things, and the securities of earth are shaken in my life right now. So I want to get my eyes on You. Who here tonight would say, Brother Owens, somewhere tucked in your sermon tonight, I found something that can help me. And I'll raise my hand and let God see it. Would you raise your hand and say, yeah, that is going to help me. You may put that hand down. Could I say to you, would you be willing to leave your seat in a moment and come down here and get on your knees and maybe reconnect with Jesus for just a second? Maybe you need to come down here and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Sometimes I even get so busy serving You, I forget to have a relationship with You. And I'm a little frantic. God, I need You to calm me. I need to get my eyes back on You. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.